Our study tonight, we're continuing on in Philippians, and we're using the Workman's Interlinear 2 that Jack Everly had provided for through his studies. And of course, we just started that, not a few weeks ago, and we went through Ephesians, and now we're fixing to end up and finish the first chapter of Philippians. And we got two verses left from our last study. But tonight's study is going to be study 66 in what we call wisdom. And I called it that to begin with because all of us have been given a brain by our Creator, and that brain is for understanding and for knowledge and how to use all of this. But He also gave us a heart, and the heart to, if you go back to Acts 8, I believe it is, maybe 6, 7, or 8, somewhere there that it talks about the mind of the heart. And I think it was when it was talking about Philip in Acts. So we realized that in order to get to know the finished work of Christ and to get to understand all of the aspects that it brings us, then we need to get the mind and the heart in one vein or together. And the study tonight is October the 28th, 2020. And we stopped last week with verse 28 of chapter 1, and I want to go back and just read it. And then we'll start with our study and do it the way we've been doing it. We're going to read it through the King James, and I'm going to read my notes, and then we're going to get into Jack's book, and we're going to go down from the Koine Greek and read it in English as how it's pulled down. And then we're going to read Jack's notes and look at those scripture verses that he has left for us that we need to go to get confirmation on what we just read. And so I think that is a very good way of bringing these studies around to this, because it's very, very important. These are the last seven books that Paul had written to us, starting in AD, maybe AD 61, 62. And so 28 says this, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an event token."
Evident.
"An evident token of perdition." Sorry.
That's all right.
"But to you of salvation and that of God." So, Paul was telling us not to be frightened by anything that your adversaries or those that you might consider to be your foes. And he talks about the evident token or the sign of perdition or destruction caused by their strength. "But to you, of salvation or being in Christ, and that of or from God." And then we looked at the scripture of that. So we'll go to 29 and pick up our study in 29. And we go back to the King James Version, and we're going to read it out of the Companion Bible. It says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Now, Paul has come to the understanding and the assurance that what God didn't allow his son to tell us when his son was here those 3 years teaching and preaching, they was things that wasn't yet to be revealed. And so that was what God had chose Paul to do. And so now Paul has the understanding that he is taking up the mantle that Christ was not able to do because it wasn't the will of the Godhead that it was to be done at that time. So Paul is now has the understanding that he has kindly taken, the place, if you will, of the Christ that went back into glory and is silent now because Christ went back to glory only as a head and he doesn't have a complete body yet. You know, we talked over the years about pleroma, about the filling of the body of Christ. And that's what we're dealing with here in our study in this section of that. And so, Paul is filling up that Christ did not get to do. And so now Paul has kindly assumed the mind of Christ. God has given Paul, I think, specific powers that, he might not have understood a little earlier in his life. And he says in 29, for unto you it is given or was granted in or on the behalf of Christ. And this is the genitive part of that. It is to you. Through Paul, it is to you. In the place of. So when you look at this, on behalf of Christ, it is given to us to finish this work. And Paul is making it clear that that's what we're supposed to do. And there's two parts of it. Number one is not only to completely believe on Christ, but also you're going to have to suffer for his sake also. Because believing and suffering kindly are tied together in the idea of the plan and purpose of God. Christ came and he suffered for us. Why shouldn't we suffer a little bit for him? That only seems to make logical sense to me, but it might not to you. But let's go to Philippians 3:10 for just a minute. And, wait just a minute. Let's see if that is in Jack's notes or if I just used it in my notes. No, we'll hold off on that. We'll read it in the Koine Greek. So that was what I have written. But I also put in my notes these things that Jack wanted us to look at because I have to look them up and give you the page number and everything there too. But in 29, let's see what it comes down out of the Koine Greek. And it says, because to you was granted the concerning Christ, not only unto him to believe, but rather also on behalf of him to suffer. That's the genitive case. Because Christ suffered for us, and the genitive is, well, we need to return the favor in that sense. Because to you was granted the concerning Christ, not only unto him to believe, but rather also on behalf of him to suffer. Now, Jack Eberle says this, they are no faith whether believers. It is given everyone who names the name of Christ to suffer for his sake. Of course, Jack says this is a great privilege to suffer on his behalf. Fox's Book of Martyrs is filled with the stories of many who did just that. Now today across the world, the fellowship of his suffering is experienced by countless numbers of those who gave their life for him, often in painful manners. From the darkness of Africa to the shadows of the civilized inner cities, body members give their lives for him daily. And it says, let's look at Philippians 3:10, and we will do that now. So Philippians 3:10 is just a page over, two pages over, really, if you have a companion Bible. I didn't put the page number down because it was very easy to turn to, or I didn't mark it in my Bible. So 3:10 of Philippians says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So, this, you see, we're beginning to get into the theme now of the sufferings and the glories of Christ. Okay? Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians, two places, 8:2, chapter 8, verse 2, and chapter 11, for just a minute. 2 Corinthians, I think I did put that down. Yeah, it is on page 1744. 2 Corinthians 8:2. And I've got all kind of marks in my Bible, but when you go to doing this.
You keep finding it, right?
2 Corinthians 8:2. Okay. Whoopee.
Keep on.
2 Corinthians 8:2. It says this. And I'm going to read 8:1 and 2. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So we're going back there and looking at that to realize that, God had bestowed upon those churches there the grace of things, but there's a price to be paid for that. Okay, so we go to 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to read 24 through 27. And that's on page 1744, if you have a companion Bible. And Paul says this, speaking of suffering.
This is his roster of suffering. Yeah.
Yeah. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. So he said 5 times they beat me. and I received 39 stripes each time. He said, thrice or three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned and he died. He doesn't say he died, but we know that he did. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. He always had to watch his back.
Mm-hmm.
In hunger and thirst, and in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. We do not really know, and I'm not sure that we fully comprehend all of the things that the Apostle Paul went through and the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And so, you know, he's trying, and Jack was trying to make it quite clear here by giving us these other scriptures of what took place. Okay. And so we get to verse 30, and this is the last verse in the first chapter of Philippians. It says, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. So Paul has had this warfare to strive and credit for Christ. And Paul's striving in service for Christ was something that we just read about there, and something that caused him great troubles and pains a lot of times. He says, which you saw in me. And if you want to really understand what went on there, as was written there, while ago that we wrote about in 2 Corinthians, you can go to Acts 16. And you can read the chapter of Acts 16 and get a maybe a little better understanding of that. But I'll just let that be a homework for you if you don't care. And now here it says to be still in me, because wherever Paul went, whatever he was involved in, it always caused problems. And the problems was because, a lot of times was because of Paul's understanding that the Jews did not understand or did not seem to accept. Okay, now let's look at what was said in the Koine Greek. In Jack's Workman's Interlinear, it says this, the same conflict, having such as you saw in me, and now here in me, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here in me. The word for conflict, Jack says, is agona. And this has to do with striving in athletic competitions, generally speaking. The Philippians were well aware of Paul's striving in the Lord to put forth the truth of the mystery. He has also kept them apprised of his labor in his service. And they too, many of them, were fellow strivers for the truth of the mystery which has now been revealed to us. okay, there's two or three places that we need to look at there. To start off with, let's turn a few pages over and look at Colossians 1:29. Colossians 1:29. Boy, my pages are getting worn in the Bible. I may have to see if I can find another one somewhere.
Before you get one.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to find. Paul says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So, Paul understands in Colossians that now his workings are mightily, because he is doing that Christ could have done when he was here, but it wasn't time for it to be known the way it's being known now. Okay. Having said that, let's go back to Acts and look at Acts 16. In Acts 16, we're going to read verses 16 through 40. And this is on page 1620 if you have a companion Bible. So, we're going to read almost a half a chapter here. And we'll kind of let it teach us. Yeah, we're going to read from 16 to the end of chapter 16. And let it sink into our mind as we read. And it says, and as it came to pass, and this is Luke writing this, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Well, that doesn't sound like soothsaying, does it? And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So Paul understood that she had a demon spirit within her, even though the demon spirit through her was telling truth. But anyway, he relieved her of that demon spirit. And it says in 19, and when her master saw the hope of their gains were gone through this woman, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Well, they was troubling them more than it was, I guess, the city. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Well, this is one of the times they were getting the stripes. Okay. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. He was not going to let them get away, he thought. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Oh. And that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Well, when you're dealing with
hard to explain,
the Creator, but... when you're dealing with the Creator of the universe, your little puny power is not much against God. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Well, this was the way that was done. If you was in charge of the prisoner, and if they got away, they were going to take you alive.
You're done.
Okay. Yeah. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas and besought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I wonder how he knew that. Gee.
You got to know that these jailers and all these people that dealt with these men who had no choice but to do what they were told to do,
yeah,
had to wonder about what was going on and whose side they really should be on.
Yeah, and so I guess the question was asked.
He understood perfectly.
He wanted to save himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So if he was head of the house, you know, you could become saved through the head of the house. Gee. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." Oh, wow. But Paul said unto them, now here's the lawyer coming out in him. "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now, do they thrust us out privily? Do they want to sneak us out of here? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." Boy, this is the lawyer of lawyers. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates. And they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart from the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brother, they comforted them and departed. So, sometimes it's good to read a few verses of scripture. And it tells the story. And it generally tells the story better than we can at any time. Okay. Let's look at two more places here. We'll go on to chapter 2. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. And that's on page 1789. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 2. Yep. Okay. It says, "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." So, you know, you can go on and read this with understanding that all of this carried on from one one part to the other. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. We'll look at this one and then we'll get into chapter 2. Hebrews 12, 1. I'll get on the right page in just a second. And Hebrews 12, 1 says this. And it's on page 1842 if you have a companion Bible. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Paul says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, the Apostle Paul was talking to these Hebrews who never really understood what their job for Christ should be. But he says that we're compassed about with a great cloud of witness. Let's lay away, do away with this weight of sin that besets us and run with patience in the things that we're looking for, that set before us. Let's read that in the Koine Greek. Verse 30. Or coming down into the English out of the Koine Greek. It says the same conflict, having such you saw in me and now here in me. And so that was what we had just read. And so we've already read what Jack has written there. So let's go to chapter 2. Let me find the place back again in Philippians. I got all these notes, things marked out. And it's chapter 2, verse 1, Philippians in the King James Version says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. And so let's look at the notes on that. And so this was Paul's questions. If there be any consolations. And in consolations is the word paraklesis. And it means a stimulating force or instructions of comfort. Does that make sense? If there be any consolation, stimulating force, instructions of comfort, in or within Christ, if any comfort of love, and that word there is Philadelphia, like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but Philadelphia is part of God's love. If any fellowship of the Spirit. And here again we have the mind and the heart in the same accord. This is the way it works, folks. To be or to get or to have access to the body of Christ, the heart and mind being led by the Spirit of God can put you there. If any bowels and mercies, and that's to yield to and have full compassion in what you believe in. So this is the questions and basically the answers that goes with it. And so there's plenty that we need to look at here because we get kind of covered up with the places to look. But let's see what Jack says in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, if therefore encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and compassion. You know, when the word talks about your inward parts, like bowels or things like that, it's to yield to the feelings that you have that you can emote to others concerning that God has furnished to us. Okay, let's read the notes. It said, the encouragement of our Lord, or in our Lord, is very motivating for us to fulfill our destination in life. The consoling in love soothes the heart sick, soothes the disappointed, and it soothes the beaten down. The fellowship of the one body member with another is strengthened. Those who are compassionate fulfill the role that no other can fill, because we gain from each other as being body members. For the one persecuted and the misunderstood and the compassionate can share that one's grief. And that is a great, great thought. And it does talk about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 11 places that we need to look into. So if there's that much that Brother Jack says to look at, we need to look at it. Okay, so, and it's we're probably going to, let's see. Well, all of them seems to be pretty close around. So let's go to the little book of Jude. It's on page 1883. Always have trouble with that. 1883.
Yeah, it's one page.
Because it's just basically one page, yeah. And it's just before Revelation. If I could remember that, I'd probably be better off. Okay, we're going to look at Jude 22. Okay, page 83. It's the first verse of 83. And it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. But we need to go back and look at verse 20, 21. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Okay, so here he's talking about the compassion. Okay, so we've got that off of our list. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. And that's on page 1785, if you have a companion Bible. And it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave, so ye also do. Or so you do ye. Okay, so that is still dealing with this same verse of scripture. So you see how important it is. And let's go back to Galatians 5. And that's before Ephesians. And we'll go to Galatians 5. And the verse there is verse 13 and verse 22 in Galatians 5. And I think it's on, yeah, it's on the same page. It's page 1757. 13 says this, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. Serve one another. And then let's look at verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13. Well, let's back up a little further. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, and it's on page 1718. 13:4, and it says this, and charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And charity, of course, another word for that is love. Charity vaunteth not itself, nor is puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easy provoked, thinketh no evil. Okay, and let's look at 14:13. It's on the, if you have a companion Bible, it's just on the next page. 14:3. I told you the wrong. It wasn't 14:13. 14:3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So you see there's a deal there that we need to look at too. Okay. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. That's on page 1728. And it says, if you have a companion Bible, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Okay. And then we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 5:4. Well, Jack didn't leave anything out. 2 Corinthians 5:4.
4 or 14.
Wait a minute.
Tony posted
5:14. I'm sorry. My writing gets bad when I do it a week or two ahead of time. Says, for the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Okay. And that he died for all, that they which should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Okay. Now we need to go to Romans 5. Let's see. Romans 5:8, 1671. We got to go backwards. Romans 5:8. Here we go. 1671. Romans 5:8. Talking about God again. And but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, then we want to go to Ephesians 5:2. I told you this is like a conference. There you go from one place to the other. Ephesians 5:2 says this. And it's on page 1767, if you have a companion Bible. Be ye therefore followers of God, that's verse 1, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That is Romans 5:1-2. Okay. No, that's Ephesians 5:1-2. I'm sorry. I told you. 1 John is next. There's two more. 1 John 4:6. Okay, we got to go way over toward the end of the Bible. 1 John 4:6.
6 or 16.
4:16. Boy, my ones gets mixed up with the other. And it says, and we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay. Now the next one is 1 Thessalonians And if I can read that, it says that's 2:11. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, 1789, if you have a companion Bible. And it says, then as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his child, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So that was what Jack had put down for us to look at in the very first verse of chapter 2, verse 1. What, you got any time left or we over?
It's 9:28.
Okay, so we'll stop there and pick up with verse 2 the next time. I knew some of these verses were going to be quite long because of what's put there. But you see and you understand that if you go and you read,
it was well worth looking them up.
What Paul has put in Philippians, that he didn't want to leave out anything that already had been said concerning the subject. So a lot of times that makes the subject kind of, when he goes through a list of things, it makes the list, if you're gonna run it down, it makes it a little long, but yet it's worth your while quite often because that gives us the understanding that the scripture testifies of itself. It's not just one and done. You know, a lot of times you're listening to a radio broadcast, well, I want to read you two verses of scripture. And it makes 30 minutes out of it or an hour out of it. Well, you know, this might have made 15 or 20 or 25 minutes out of this one, but look at what we went through. Amen. And look at what it said. And so there's, when we go to looking at talking about comfort or love or fellowship or spirit, vows of mercy, the things that God has put forth for us to see, there's lots of places there that it does talk about itself. And so that to me is one of the wonderful things that I've enjoyed so much about this because I get into it and I generally read it when I start, but now that sometimes I'm a little ahead of myself. And it makes it about a week or maybe 2 weeks ago because I try to stay ahead of it a little bit. And I'm not sure that's a good thing for me because I am going on 83 years old. But I'm not making excuses.
Keeping it together pretty good.
But I'm not making excuses. So therefore, if I don't tell you the right verse, take it with a grain of salt. I didn't mean to do that. And God bless you for being with us. And I hope that, you know, we're all getting something out of it in particular because this is the way it's laid out. And I think Jack has really helped to make it very much plainer by going through this and going through what he has looked up and going through some of the things that I've went back and looked at. Too. So you kind of get if you're going to get understanding and knowledge out of this to give yourself wisdom, that's the way it ought to be.
Amen.
And so I think that's the way that the Lord has dealt with me to do it this way. And so here we are. And who am I to say no? So thank you very much and appreciate your thoughts and prayers and being with us and continue to remember my brother. He's coming around a little bit with his stroke that he had a little better than a week ago. And he's still got a long ways to go. And the biggest thing that it's affecting is his speech. And he's the kind of guy that if you ever meet him, he'll tell you what he knows. And so he wants to keep that speech going. And he's got a good speech therapist, and the guy is helping him. But he wants to come closer back to home. And the speech therapist said, "Will you find you one that's equal to what I'm teaching you?" And he says, "You'll be all right in a while." But he says, "You may walk a lot better than you could talk for a while." Yeah. And he says, "That's the important thing for you." And he took his advice, believe it or not. And it's hard for my brother to take advice. He can give you a lot. Especially if it's electrical, and especially if it deals with an automobile.
Yeah.
But he knows that. But he certainly don't know all there is to know about the body, and he needs to learn a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, too. And pray for him on that account also. That's what he needs the most. I think the rest of the stuff would get right if he just get himself right. So, thank you for listening to me.